Joe, it's so good to have you on the Grove Collective podcast, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. It's been so awesome to just get to know you over, I mean, I feel like it's been at least a couple years. How long have you been at the Grove for?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Just coming up on 3 years.
I think
in September.
Yeah.
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 It's been a minute.
Yeah, man. And I have loved just to be able to witness your creative process. You help lead our creative team here at the Grove. And more than that, just getting to know your heart and seeing your personality shine too, man. It's been a joy. It's been an honor.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate that.
I'm excited for everybody to get to hear more about who Joe is. And then I'm also excited to jump into our topics today in talking about the creative process. So before we get into that, though, man, I would love for you just to share some about your story and who you are and your family and all that stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So full name is Joseph Hadzaliah. Everyone calls me Joe. I'm born and raised in California, pretty much from the Bay Area. I was born to Salvadorian parents who migrated here in the 80s.
Wow.
And yeah, so there's my older brother, it's my older sister, myself, and I have a younger sister. And
three kids total?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So
cool, man.
First generation American.
I think that gives you a really just a different perspective than somebody who's not, right?
Mm.
And I want you to share a little bit about what that was like for you growing up too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. I can talk about that forever.
I know you can. What are some things that you learned that you feel like are beneficial because of your parents, the way that they raised you and you being a first generation?
Yeah. Man, it's so fascinating. But I think what's really closely associated to people who have migrated is the work ethic.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of wrestled with that for such a long time.
How so?
Just because I saw how much work my parents were doing and how much they committed themselves to it.
Yeah.
And like, I absolutely appreciate and love, you know, everything that they did for us. Because it's led me to, just so many great places and opportunities, and so it's been interesting to like how I feel like I deal with that, because I don't know, I definitely, when I'm passionate about something, when my heart's in it, like I'll put however many hours into it, like that's like I'll just keep going and going.
Yeah.
But a lot of the, I don't know, mundane stuff, like I can be lazy about.
Yeah, you know? That's funny.
Just like chores and stuff. And like,
I think that's everybody too, man. Yeah. Like when we're doing stuff that we're passionate about, there's a spark in our drive and it lights us up. But
yeah,
a lot of life is the mundane too, which is frustrating.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been interesting because I just feel over the past couple of years, like, man, I've like grown to love that, like love those moments, because I feel like I've come to like realize and hold this view of like how, or like what a miracle it is to even exist and to be alive.
Totally. Totally.
And yeah, so it's not to like detach myself from like, I don't know, I think I might have been drawn to like these big moments or big movements and like, I don't know, stuff that just catches your eye, but like now it's, I feel like the relationships and the people around me, like there's just so much beauty in that.
Yeah.
And you know, whether that's like doing a chore, like, or...
It's not taking that stuff for granted, huh?
Right.
When you brought up your parents and mm-hmm. the fact that they migrated,
yeah.
And you talk about their work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, my mom's grandma was full 100% Mexican from Mexico.
Yeah.
And so people look at me and they're like, typical white dude from SoCal, you know?
Yeah.
But my roots are really like Hispanic roots. I grew up in a Hispanic family.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've seen, especially with a lot of immigrants who have come to America, is these are the people that work the hardest and mm-hmm. oftentimes are rewarded the least.
Mm.
And I don't know if that was the case with your parents, if they worked extremely hard and it was enough to provide for the family, which is beautiful and amazing, but
yeah.
other people in different situations with that kind of work ethic would make double. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I feel like one of the things too that we're passionate here at The Grove about, and this isn't just talk, right? It's like mm-hmm. we welcome refugees and asylum seekers and immigrants into our church and help transition them on.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that our church's heart beats for is closing that gap from like your parents who like work so hard mm-hmm. to try to make ends meet. It's like, how do we close that gap, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
And so did you see that? Was that your case growing up? Did you see your parents work hard and like,
yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
And I think that's why
you mentioned there's some aspects that you're frustrated about, and I was wondering if that was it.
Yeah, I think that's what I was like kind of leaning or meant to get to.
But yeah.
Like, I being into I don't know creative stuff, like that's not getting chores done.
Totally.
That's not like.
So you kind of had like probably a little bit of a identity crisis, or there was a fight or a pull of like,
yeah.
I can't pursue this because this isn't what pays the bills.
Right.
You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Yeah. So, where I just saw like, even like one of my sisters specifically, like, you know, she just values so much, you know, what our parents have done. And so, like she wants to support and be there as much for them as possible. And,
yeah.
You know, I think we would kind of go back and forth and like, well, I get that, but I'm like, also want to pursue the things that I want to as well. And so,
yeah.
I think there's this tension of some sort of guilt of pursuing that stuff.
Yeah.
But again, I think them laying that foundation gave me opportunities to explore that.
For sure.
And I think ultimately, like, I know how much they're proud of me and, like, the work that I've done and the yeah. things that I'm a part of. And I think that's why even just more recent years, like, have wanted to... share stories of like the Latino community,
yeah,
and specifically around immigrants and first generation Americans, and that's so like hearing what The Grove has done to contribute to some of those causes and those issues, I think has been just so rewarding
for sure.
'Cause in a way, like. I feel like I'm paying some of that back
yeah.
to my parents, you know?
Totally. Well, and I think about it this way too, man. Like you said, your parents worked so hard to create a foundation for you to be able to live out your expression of worship.
Mm.
And every time you create something, that's almost like you thanking and honoring your parents for the hard work that they did to make it possible for you to. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
So that's beautiful, man. Mm. And I think that it's sad that more churches don't enter into that world of lifting people up who are oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes America so great, is that's what we should be about, is mm-hmm. giving people opportunities, everybody, you know, and helping them lift them up out of their oppression or their poverty.
Yeah.
And I think that tension for the church, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this because it's very dangerous. It's like that white nationalistic mentality of church. It's like that shouldn't ever be in the church. The church is supposed to be for all people.
Right.
And it's supposed to break chains and set people free. Like, that's what the church is there for.
Mm-hmm.
So the Grove is doing what the church has always supposed to be doing.
Right.
And it's a tragedy that more aren't, you know?
Yeah.
But that's why we do what we do, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love being a part of it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's special.
Mm-hmm.
I want to jump into a little bit more about, I would say, your expression of worship. Mm-hmm. And all of us have a creative capacity to us, even people who aren't artistic and that create art. I think all of us do. And there's this scripture that came to mind when I was thinking about you and specifically what you do. And it comes out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for. It's assurance about what we do not see." And I think that there's this world of faith and there's this unseen realm, and I'm not trying to speak very like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think your job is taking things that are unseen in this spiritual world and making them seen and making them visible. Yeah. And so I want you to talk about your creative process and how you go about doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I think what I'm a dreamer.
Like, yeah. Well, and first, not to cut you off too.
Yeah.
What you do here at the Grove is like, you share a little bit about what you do so that people know as well.
Yeah. I am the graphic designer coming up on 3 years.
Yeah.
Collaborate with our video production team and our social media team, and have worked on multiple projects from music releases to, you know, our Christmas and Easter services, our podcast.
You're really a part of the visible expression of the Grove.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I want you to talk about that process, man, and how that works for you.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think I can just dream a lot and be in my head a lot, and so there are these very abstract ideas, and I think it's been a long process, but like learning how to communicate those things that is accessible, because I'm sure some of my earlier work has been like, oh, that's pretty crazy. Like, it kind of goes over people's heads,
right? Well, that's a part of the creative process too, right? It's helping your ideas that are in your head come out onto a screen or onto a paper, whatever, and have it make sense to everybody who sees it.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so whoever it is that I'm working with, I think those initial conversations are so critical, like, because graphic design is visual communication, so... you know, there's a message that's trying to be shared.
There's
idea trying to be communicated. So, yeah, I think before anything else, like, just hope. I try to draw out, like, hey, what are we trying to share?
Yeah.
You know,
what's the message?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to capture that, the heart of it, the essence of it. And then once we kind of have that, I think I'll start looking at more so, I think, the aesthetic or stylistic side, and because as much as I would love creative freedom, like, more often than not, like, you know, there's
some parameters.
Yeah,
there's boundaries.
It's totally fine.
Yeah,
like, I love supporting that. Like, I want everyone to be proud of what they're a part of. So. So I'll start, ask for some references, visual references, you know, what they have in mind, and just kind of go off on that and just explore more of that, style and yeah, kind of interpret that in my own way and yeah, just go back and forth. Till
it's a very relational thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
This whole series has been premised kind of off of like the fact that in the beginning God created and God is the ultimate artist. I think I believe that. And his creation is also creative. Mm-hmm. And we're created in the image and likeness of God, what the scripture says. And I think that we are called to be imitators of Jesus too, right? Mm-hmm. And whenever you encounter someone and I feel like you bump into them and you're like, hey, there's something different about that person. Mm-hmm. Their creative expression does something to you that changes you. Mm-hmm. It's really because they're a good imitator. Mm. And I wanted to talk about this because I feel like there's this stigma in the creative world that it kind of drives me crazy, man.
Yeah.
There's this quote that says, all good art is actually imitation. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to you about that, and I want to get your opinion on that, and I want to elaborate on that a little bit more. Do you think art is this truly individualistic pursuit where you just have this connection to God and he gives you an idea? Maybe that's possible, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Or is a majority of it imitation, and it comes from things that actually maybe have been seen before or that have been experienced before? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. No. Like, yeah. I 100% agree with that.
You agree?
Yeah.
Bro, you're one of the few creatives that I think would just come out and say that.
Yeah.
All good art is imitation.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It reminds me of one of the creative directors that I really love and follow. For the longest time, his handle on Instagram was What You Steal. And I think that came from the line, you're only as good as what you steal. And yeah, I don't know. I don't like want to kid myself and like try to act that I have this super original idea.
Yeah.
I think man, there's just so much beauty in the culmination of different inspirations and I think let's not let it stop there. Like, let's find the voice, like find the identity in it and let that become its own thing. I think that's where it changes. Cause sure, like, you know, you can see something or hear something or whatever and replicate it. But I think what I try to do is like, oh, okay, like whatever it is that brings me inspiration, like that's cool, I like that, and try to figure out like what I do like about it, and I don't know, I'll come across something else and it just sparks another idea.
Right.
Like, oh, that's cool, like how could these work together, and I think in and of itself kind of takes on its own, own thing. But ultimately I think that initially starts with taking maybe a bit more than just what you're inspired.
Totally. Well, I think it's so funny, man, because especially in the church world, I've experienced a lot in the church world. There are some churches that claim to have this like copyright on creativity. And I think it's hilarious because all art is an imitation at some point, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sure, you add you definitely have your personality and your character that shows up in your art. And I think that's a part of the process. Like you said, you aren't the process, you're a part of the process.
Yeah.
And even in preaching, man, I remember I was at a preaching master class, and this is a world-renowned pastor and preacher. And it's funny, we're learning how to be better preachers and more effective communicators. Mm-hmm. And you know what he said that he does?
What?
He steals content from other preachers, right? And I know there are pastors out there who have gotten fired because they've plagiarized their sermons.
Wow.
I know, isn't that crazy?
So nuts.
And so I think recognizing there's this humility that comes into this process too, you know?
Yeah.
You are a part of the process, but you're not the process. You're partnering with the Spirit of God and his people and his creation.
Yeah.
To imitate and reflect his beauty, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Joe, I have one final question for you that I want to ask you, man. if we are created in the image of God, and we also have a creative capacity to us as human beings, what do you tell someone who's looking to live that reality out, but they might not have an artistic creative ability?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, artistic and creative are too synonymous.
Yeah, okay, explain that.
Yeah, I think there's a broader, creativity is broader than just the arts and artistic expression. It could be like building businesses or the way you communicate and have a conversation or deliver whatever kind of message, or yeah, some kind of engineering. Like that is all, yeah, it is. It's all creative.
It's all creative.
Yeah.
Most of what we do is creative, and a lot of us just don't even realize it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that comes, I think, from being created in the image of the ultimate creator. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think also just doing the inner work and like excavating and learning more of who you are, like that is in and of itself also creative.
Yeah.
And is also like an act of worship.
It is.
And yeah, there's a lot of liberty and beauty in that. And yeah, I think becoming more of who you are, more human, that tapping into that humanity,
like, yeah,
that's creative.
It is creative. It is creative. This is how I want to end, because you just said this, and I think this is so powerful. I think when we think about being creative, we want to build. Oftentimes what we need is to excavate. Even before we even think about building, you actually do excavate. And what that means for everybody, I think, I'm not super construction minded, but it's dig. It's dig.
Yeah.
You need to dig, and you need to do the inner work. And then oftentimes the outer work will come.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And that is a creative endeavor and a creative pursuit.
Yeah.
Man.
So good.
Yeah. Dude, thanks so much for being on the podcast. I appreciate who you are, and I look forward to having many more conversations about this topic with you, dude.
For sure. Thanks for having me.